Thank you very much. Again, my name is Sam Wortman. I'm at the University of Nebraska, and the title of my presentation is Mulching Cover Crop Mixtures to Increase Weed Suppression, Soil Moisture, and Grain Yield. So if you attended the session this morning, we heard all about the utility of individual cover crop species, specifically winter rye and hairy vetch, with regard to weed suppression and increasing soil nitrogen and carbon. Specifically with regard to the mechanisms of weed suppression, I'm sure a lot of you know about the mechanisms of physical suppression through increased light interception, lower soil temperature, and increased habitat for weed seed predators. However, to realize a lot of these benefits, full soil coverage may be necessary. And in the north central region, this can be difficult to achieve due to a shortened growing season. So we need to kind of look beyond perhaps some of these physical factors. So we might be able to improve weed suppression through the utilization of chemical factors such as delayed soil nitrogen release and the use of allelopathic phytotoxins that can inhibit weed seed germination or growth. And to that end, the brassica species, or the mustards, may hold great potential because they contain glucosinolates, which is a demonstrated allelopathic potential in the greenhouse and in several field trials. However, the glucosinolate compound composition and concentration depend on species and environment. So the idea there being that individual brassica species will contain unique glucosinolate compounds that have been shown to target individual weed species. So we believe that a mixture of brassica species may be best to target a broad range of weed species. In the legume family of species, there is some evidence of allelopathic effects, not to the degree that has been shown in the brassica species, so the legume species are probably most beneficial for increasing soil coverage and soil nitrogen. So we believe that a diverse cover crop mixture and shifting away from the monoculture paradigm that dominates our main cropping systems, we believe that a multiple species mixture can maximize niche complementarity, interspecific competition, and resource use efficiency. So our goal was to combine legumes and brassica species in mixture to maximize productivity and ultimately soil coverage, allelopathic effects, and biological nitrogen fixation. We then wanted to couple the benefits of cover crop diversity with surface mulch. Again, if you were at the presentation this morning, we saw a lot of great examples of how the surface mulch can be beneficial in grain crops. Most of the work we saw was with a roller crimper. There is some work being done with sickle bar mowers, and the tool that we utilized here was an undercutter, or the noble blade, that I believe we saw a picture in Bob Blackshaw's presentation of that noble blade. On the right here is the picture of what we used in 2009. Because we couldn't get our hands on a noble blade. So this is just a buffalo cultivator with 36-inch sweeps. And to reiterate, the blade runs level to the soil surface, about 3 to 4 inches beneath the soil surface, severing roots, minimizing soil inversion, and leaving residue on the surface. But in 2010, we were able to get our hands on a noble V-blade undercutter. What we were looking to do was to combine the benefits of these two systems to increase physical interference and maximize chemical effects on weeds, delay soil nitrogen release. We believe that the mineralization of cover crop residue may be slower if not immediately incorporated through the use of a disc or a plow. And we wanted to increase soil moisture because certainly in eastern Nebraska, this is something that's going to limit production through a reduced soil evaporation and minimized soil inversion. And ultimately, we're looking to increase grain yield. So our specific hypotheses were that increasing cover crop diversity through the principles of resource use efficiency will increase total cover crop biomass, reduce weed biomass, increase soil moisture content, delay soil nitrate release, and increase grain yield. And then we also hypothesized that utilizing a mulching technique will compound the effects of cover crop diversity, and we'll see further reductions in weed biomass, and increases in soil moisture content, further delay in soil nitrate release, and greater increases in yield. So to test these hypotheses, we initiated a field experiment near Meade, Nebraska, in a 2.8 hectare certified organic dryland field. The field history was previously in 5 years of organic alfalfa production, We did apply 30 kilograms per hectare of liquid manure prior to initiation of the experiment to alleviate phosphorus deficiency. And we then seeded the entire field. This probably seems foolish to a producer, but we seeded the entire field with 5 common weed species because we were primarily interested in how these mixtures can suppress weeds. So here's a picture of the experimental site from the northwest corner. And you can see the kind of checkerboard pattern there of the different cover crop mixtures in those plots. So this was a split plot randomized complete block design with main plot or whole plot being the cover crop mixture. And this table shows the breakdown of those mixtures. The base, what we started with, was a 2 cover crop mixture that included hairy vetch and buckwheat in 2009. We actually had to remove, I'll talk about this type of system here in a moment, but these are spring sown cover crop mixtures. And buckwheat proved to be very ineffective in a spring sown cover crop mixture. It's very susceptible to frost and very slow growing in our cold spring. So we actually removed that from the mixture in 2010 and replaced it with Ida Gold mustard. Then the 4 cover crop mixture included field pea and Pacific gold mustard. And then oilseed radish and crimson and clover were added to the 6 cover crop mixture. And then lastly, dwarf SX rape and chickling vetch in the 8 cover crop mixture. So you can see the idea was to pair one brassica species with one legume in each mixture. So it was a 50-50 combination. And then our 2 controls was a weedy no cover crop control. That's referring to the time before cover crop termination and main crop planting. And then the other control was a weed-free no cover crop control where we removed all vegetation continuously before main crop planting. So then our split plot was termination method using a disc, which is a common method of incorporating cover crops, and then again that undercutter, sweep plow undercutter, and then our weed-free plots were not split because those were managed in a unique way with hand hoeing and field cultivation and disking as necessary. So as I kind of alluded to earlier, this is a unique cropping system in that these are spring-sown cover crop mixtures. And talking with farmers in the initiation of this experiment, we found that farmers were looking for greater flexibility with the use of cover crops because, for one, farmers with integrated crop livestock operations were finding it difficult to establish fall-seeded cover crops because they want to graze livestock on residue in those fields. And then also, they found it was difficult to establish cover crops following corn and soybean harvest in regions with shortened growing seasons. Certainly, 2009 would have been an example of that, where people were harvesting into December, so it certainly would have been really difficult to establish a fall overwintering cover crop there. So with that being said, the cover crops were planted in late March, or as soon as we could get into the field, and then terminated about 60 days later in late May. And then the main crops were planted within 1 week. And they were planted into a soybean, corn, sunflower 3-year rotation. We wanted to use all summer annual crops just for the simplification of our looking at our effects here. And all plots were in a row cultivated 1 or 2 times, depending on the year. So this was, we cheated a little bit. This wasn't an entirely zero tillage type of system like we talked about this morning. But certainly our goal was to reduce tillage in organic systems. So our data collection, we collected cover crop biomass, weed biomass at 2 intervals. We took weekly soil moisture readings to a depth of 8 centimeters, soil nutrient samples to a depth of 20 centimeters at 3 intervals, and of course grain yield at the end of the season. So now looking at our results. In 2009, you can see that cover crop biomass was greatest in the 6 cover crop mixture. Basically, the results of 2009 tell us that you needed a brassica species in the mixture to achieve optimum biomass because the 2 cover crop mixture there was very low biomass, really not a whole lot greater than just the natural weed community. and then in 2010, you can see as we added the Ida Gold mustard to all mixtures, no difference there between any of the cover crop mixtures, which was slightly discouraging as we were hoping to see some resource use efficiency and increased productivity, but no difference there. And you can see here in 2009, the picture on the left is the 8 cover crop mixture that includes brassica species. You can see great soil coverage. And on the right is that 2 cover crop mixture that does not include a brassica species. That's just hairy vetch and buckwheat. And you can see that the buckwheat is about 2 or 3 leaf stage there, and that's late May, so definitely not worth using. Now looking at the weed biomass and visual rating, in 2009, we didn't see any effect of cover crop diversity, but we did find that weed biomass was reduced at both intervals in the undercut treatment compared to disking cover crops in and the weed-free control. And it's visually very obvious here on the left. This is a soybean plot, and on the left you can see a plot that was disked, and you can see a carpet that's largely foxtail, a carpet of foxtail that's starting to come in, and on the right is a plot that was undercut, and you can see a little bit of residue there. Those are largely mustard stems there. They're still on the soil surface, doing a much better job of suppressing early weed germination and growth. 2010 weed biomass. This was our most exciting result of the experiment thus far, as we started to see an interaction of that termination treatment with cover crop diversity. The top line there is the effect of disking, and then the white lines are, or the white circles, is undercutting. And you can see as we increase, going from left to right, the cover crop diversity, the difference between undercutting and disking gets greater. So the most important result there is that the 8 cover crop mixture combined with the undercutter provided the best weed suppression at the first sampling interval. So this was really the best piece of evidence that confirmed our original hypotheses. Moving on to surface soil moisture. Prior to cover crop termination, it was pretty much what you would expect. When water became limiting, the cover crop treatments were much drier than the control. However, after cover crop termination, you can see that the in 2009 and 2010, pretty similar results where the yellow square is the undercut treatment compared to the blue triangle is the disc treatment. And certainly for the early part of the growing season, at least the first 30 days, you see greater soil moisture using that undercutter, where you minimize soil inversion and maximize surface residue. So that's very important for early crop growth. In terms of soil nitrogen, we really didn't see any consistent differences until 2010. Where we saw greater soil nitrates in the undercut treatment compared to the weed-free and disc. If you take notice of the scale there, only a 1 part per million difference there between the means, which seems kind of nitpicky, I guess. But if you look at a picture here of our corn at 30 days after planting, you can see undercut on the left and the use of the disc on the right. We had severe nitrogen deficiency in the corn on the right and pretty healthy corn on the left, and that we were kind of thinking that it might kind of grow out of that, as you would often see, but it remained stunted throughout the growing season, and it does show up in the yields as well. So here's grain yield, where grain yields pretty much followed the trends of every other factor we've looked at. Greatest yields were in the undercut treatment, reduced yields in the disc treatment, and most pronounced in 2010. This is for corn, soybean, and sunflower. So in conclusion, the take-home messages are that brassica species were the most productive spring cover crops for eastern Nebraska in terms of productivity, and weed suppression was largely affected by termination method. However, the effects of cover crop diversity are becoming more evident, as we saw in that 2010 figure. Cover crops reduce surface moisture prior to main crop planting. However, the undercutter can help conserve moisture through early main crop growth, and undercutting cover crops minimizes nitrogen immobilization early in the growing season. And most importantly, these factors all contributed to increased grain yield in that undercut treatment. I'd like to acknowledge the Ceres Trust for their generous funding for this project, and with that, if I have time, I'd be happy to take questions.
Thank you. There is time for one question.
Yes.
Did you keep your cover crop seeding densities the same across the different mixtures, or did the density change as the composition of the mix changed?
Okay. The question was with regard to the seeding density of the cover crops. I forgot to mention that we based the seeding densities off of recommended seeding rates if the cover crops were used in monoculture. So if 25 pounds per acre of hairy vetch was recommended monoculture, in the 2 cover crop mixture, we divided by 2 and used 12.5 And we used that approach all the way up to the 8 cover crop mixture. We just divided by recommended, either in the literature or extension publications.